tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode number 149 of the Toonami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have Seacoler.
Hello.
And all of our friends.
I don't hear anyone.
Crickets. Yeah, it's just us.
We'll try. We've done this once before.
We've done this a few times, actually. So, yeah. Let's just go right into Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball Super episode 109. The strongest opponent comes after Goku. Now's the time to unleash a killer spirit bomb. Which is, I don't actually think there is a good time to unleash a spirit bomb.
It's like a desperation move.
It doesn't work. Ever.
That's true. Yeah. But only the people in the tournament are giving them power this time.
Literally only the rest of Universe 7 except Vegeta.
Wait, you think the rest of the universe is doing it?
No, they're not.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. It's just like 10 people, eight people. So, yeah.
Like, even Frieza's just there like, sure, fuck, take it. And Vegeta's like, never!
Yep, Spirit Bomb. I mean, I don't know what powers Jiren to be able to just stop that with one hand.
He is very strong. He is the strong.
Apparently. Super strong.
His personality is in inverse to his power level.
Yeah.
Because he says maybe a thing this episode.
He did get a little like, when Goku was fighting him, he actually did start to, I don't want to say struggle is the word, but you know, he did kind of have to put some effort.
Yeah. He had to use two hands.
Yeah. He like grit his teeth a little, which is more than I think he's ever done.
But before that, Goku decided to punch him a lot, and this did actually a lot of damage. Oh wait, I'm checking my notes, and they say it did jack fucking shit. In fact, he literally stood there and did nothing, and did not even move.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it makes sense that there could be someone out there, even if they're from another universe, that could be stronger than Goku. And there's always been really strong enemies, I guess. It's just that the Saiyans have a way of powering up.
Yeah. So he goes all the way to Super Saiyan Blue, and it still doesn't really matter at all. He goes Kaioken times 20, and it doesn't matter. And everyone's like, man, he should go Kaioken times 20. And they're like, he did.
He did when no one was able to tell.
It's like, oh, everyone's like, oh, shit, that's not good.
Yeah. Before that happened, though, we got to see whatever her name is, Ribrian. She became Super Ribrian.
She gets butterfly wings.
Yeah. And then, like, all of her, like, universe people had, like, glow sticks. Because I guess she's, like, an idol.
I mean, I guess that's allowed.
Yeah.
I guess.
No rule against idol glow sticks. But yeah, she pretty much gets kind of scared once Jiren is involved, and I don't blame her.
Yeah, she's like, ooh, I'm going to act. She actually is like, hey, check this out. I can attack you while you're powering up. And Jiren's like, nope.
Yeah, it was exciting. You could tell they stepped up the animation a bit.
Yes, this is the first half of a big special they did, which is basically just two episodes put together.
You know, I don't remember it cutting off awkwardly or anything. It might have, I just don't remember it.
It kind of ends with a, like, oh no!
Gotcha.
So, that's kind of it.
There was a new ending.
Yes, there was. I don't remember what it was.
It was, like, dubbed. But, yeah. I don't know what to say. It was okay, I guess. I don't really remember it very well, honestly. I think the song was okay.
I think it was probably fine.
Yeah.
Maybe. If I could remember it, that would help.
Yeah, I guess it's not a really good sign that I can't remember it, but I just remember it. I wrote it down. I'm like, hey, a new ending, and it's dubbed. And I saw some people commenting. It's like, oh, it looks like they're dubbing all of the openings and endings for Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah, I think that's a Dragon Ball thing. They're like, hey, Dragon Ball is the one where people are going to freak out if they hear actual Japanese. So,
yeah, it is interesting.
So, want to talk about My Hero Academia?
Yeah.
My Hero Academia, episode 48, Symbol of Peace. In this episode, everything is very bad. Everything is very bad. Nothing has gone right. Man.
Something goes right. A couple of things go right, but it was mostly bad up until that point.
Yeah. But the highlight of this episode was the extremely, like, weird flex that was the animation for Bakugo jumping in the air.
Yeah, it looked cool.
And then you're just kind of like, well, okay, why that, though?
Yeah. Yeah, I get an impression that they just really wanted to make that moment epic. The whole, like, because, I mean,
kind of like, I'll take a potato chip and eat it.
It's like, yeah, I mean, they've been building up for episodes now about what the kids are going to do in this situation. And so I thought the plan was pretty good. You know, the whole idea of them like rocketing up into space and then catching him.
But the animation actually makes him like literally rocket up all the way into space.
Yeah. I when somebody mentioned that, I did go back and look up what it looked like in the manga. Yeah, it does. Like they kind of over exaggerated it in the anime. But it looks so cool, I don't really care.
Other than that, All for One has murdered a lot of people, including Best Genist, who is definitely dead.
Mm.
There's a hole in him.
He saved everybody.
Good job, Best Genist. And then, so everyone, all the villains get, they escape because, I don't know, some disgusting shit, really. Just, hey, check this out. There's black oil coming out of all your pores.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess it's one of his quirks that he can make people puke up like this goo, but it like teleports them. Or it can teleport them, but then that's the side effect. It's like puking up goo.
I think it literally is they puke up the teleporting goo. Man, yeah. It's gross.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's a very fitting villain power.
And then All Might flies in about 10 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry, 30 seconds later.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And kind of gets wrecked.
And he starts to like lose at the very end. He's kind of losing composure. So like half his face is All Might and half of it's Toshinori.
Yeah,
pretty cool. I mean, it's obviously, although it seemed pretty obvious to me, but they make it clear that like, the injury he got a while back must have been from All for One.
Oh, yeah, that's obvious.
Yeah.
But also, All for One is now, like, a nutsack face, so...
Yeah, I feel like they're kind of evenly matched. I mean, I don't know if they are, but they do feel a bit like they are. I do like that All for One keeps... He uses All Might's catchphrase a couple of times in the episode... And he's like, because I am here.
And it's like, ooh, yeah, that's a good flex.
Yeah, that's really cool that he does that. I don't even know if he's doing it intentionally or if it's just like...
Oh, he's definitely doing it intentionally.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like the author was doing that or if it was the character deliberately doing that.
It's also fun that he's literally a min-maxer. He's talking like, oh, I just stacked up like 17 enhancement type quirks to just punch out 12 city blocks, so.
Yeah.
Which is fun, because Shigaraki always talks about stuff like, it is a game.
Yeah, I was surprised that All for One is, like, letting Shigaraki have his, like, weird, like, he even refer, you know, to I guess, ingratiate himself with him. He's always talking about, this is your game, and, you know, that kind of stuff. He does talk about how he, like, uses multiple quirks together in order, you know, he's like, oh, this combination works really well. Another big save in this episode was Mount Lady.
Yep. Just get large so you can get hit in the face.
Yeah.
Great I guess job.
Got hit so hard it knocked her out, but I guess stopped that one dude from grabbing him. And like I was gonna say this a minute ago too, but I do like that Kirishima, is that his name? Kirishima.
Yeah,
one of those. I liked that the whole Deku thing was that it had to be him to call for Bakugo because he wouldn't listen to Deku.
Kirishima is now solely kept around because he is the Bakugo whisperer.
Yeah. But it worked.
Like anyone else would be like, I don't care, I'll just die. Deku's like, take my hand. He's like, guess I'll die.
I think Bakugo is becoming more and more like, I don't know, less of a tool.
Yeah, okay. They're slowly trying to be like, no, he was like this. He was like this all the time, not kill yourself all the time.
Yeah.
But we'll never forget. So anyway, Promise Neverland?
Yeah.
Promise Neverland, episode 4, 291045, or October 29th, 2045. In this episode, there be a traitor in our midst.
Yep.
Because, well, we think so, right?
They put some feelers out to see if they can, Norman, I should say. What am I saying they? Norman's the genius here. He's the one laying traps.
Norman gets them with the old, I'm going to leak information to him, but I actually never did.
Yeah,
well, I only linked it to you, Ray, you fuck.
Yeah, Ray is the traitor. Well, not traitor is the right word. He's the spy.
It was me, Austin. It was me all along, Austin.
So I did like in the thread a bunch of people, because the show does a really good job of this, of tricking you or making you think, oh, it's Gilda. Yeah, it's totally Gilda. She's the one. And then it's like a swerve, and everything, like four or five people in the thread were all like certain it was her, and then somebody was like, you all need to apologize.
Everyone apologized to Gilda.
Yeah.
She's very nice.
Yeah, she's actually really nice.
She would never do that to you.
But that was a really cool, like, it's what this show does so well, are these like real suspense moments. And like in any other show, I could imagine this just being like a really boring episode, but it's not. It's so like, even when you just have like shots of characters walking down a hallway slowly and, you know, walking up to a door and it's all silent and nobody's saying anything, it's still really intense. And I think it's the combination of you care about the characters, you care about the mystery, the music that's playing. It's all really good.
I could have done without that long extended shot of CGI stairs.
That was a little weird because it felt like they were trying to, you know, make something seem, suspect, but then it just turned out to be them. Almost felt like a little bit of padding there. I agree. But it was a cool shot. I mean, it did look cool.
It looked okay.
This show, I think, does a pretty decent job of mixing the 3D stuff and the 2D. Because there's some shots later in the series that I think are really well done because they're CG environments.
So now yeah. Don and Gilda are in on the thing, except it's just kind of nebulous human trafficking.
Yeah. Emma decides at the last second that she doesn't want to tell them the truth. Or maybe she and Norman decided this beforehand, I forget. But regardless, they pretend that they think it's just human trafficking and there's no demons or anything.
Yes, because they definitely can't handle, oh, by the way, so we're all food for, like, actual fucking demons. I'm just going to drop that cold on you and see how you take it.
So playing it safe there. So I think the way I read it, actually, if I remember now, it was Emma's idea, but then Norman plays along. And then, like, Ray calls him out on it right afterwards. He's like, why didn't you tell them? It's like, even if they're not the spies, that's a really mean thing to do, is to lie to them like that.
Elsewhere in this episode of The Promised Neverland, more crone faces.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she does. She makes creepy faces.
But faces that are like, everyone should immediately look at them and be like, wait, something's going on here. Stop making that face.
Well, she mostly only makes that face around people she thinks are trying to escape. Doesn't she? I think she does.
No, she also made that face at Emma and also the two kids that were with her in last episode.
That is true. She did do that, yeah. Yeah.
So she just kind of makes that face everywhere.
She's creepy.
Yeah.
One little thing, too. I don't know if anyone noticed this when they were watching, but there was a real brief moment in this episode where you saw Emma in the hallway, and she was sort of counting her footsteps.
Yes, she wanted to know. Yes.
That's kind of a neat little, like, tease about some new piece of information that'll get released later. So the show does a lot of really good things about, like, laying little hints about things if you watch closely enough. I've seen the show a couple of times now, so it's funny watching these episodes and being like, oh, yeah. And, you know, you see something you didn't remember seeing the first time.
Yeah. So, Sword Art.
Oh, boy.
Sword Art Online, Alicization, Episode 14, The Crimson Knight. In this episode, half the episode is in a stairwell versus this one dude.
Yeah, they basically try to convince this guy that he's... Well, it's almost a repeat of what happened with the other guy, except, like, more detailed.
And Yu-Gi-Oh is about to cut his head off.
Yeah.
Because he's the one. He's the one who's, like, running around strapping girls to dragons. Pervert.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They somehow figure out that this guy is the one.
Well, he's literally the same name.
Oh. But then, like, they insinuate that his memory's been erased. So...
Yeah, it looks like they get their memories erased, like, constantly.
Mm.
Which, I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, probably does. Because he was like, oh, no, I've always been an Integrity Knight. And Yu-Gi-Oh's like, no, dude, you were this one dude.
It's like, what? I've never been over there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, people say this looks good, and it's like, I mean, I guess it doesn't look terrible, but...
It looks good. I mean, like, it does look good. The show always looks... It looks always...
Now that I've watched, it's like, what is... But what it... Like, it looks good in if you describe that as a lack of badness?
No, I think it's above average. I mean, I'll defend the show as far as the quality of the visuals and the quality of the music. I think this show does better than most shows on this block when it comes to those two things. It's just when the story is so bleh, it's kind of hard to get excited about that. But it does look good.
I don't know. Now this sounds ridiculous, but after seeing Mob Psycho 100 Season 2, now it's like, okay, now you need to actually impress me.
Yeah, I think you're setting your bar too high, though, because that show just doesn't look like anything else. That's like the highest bar there is right now. Isn't it? Like, show me a better-looking anime. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I think that's the best-looking thing there is out now right now. I think this is good. I mean, like, look, here's where I'll go with this. You're going to hate me for saying this, but I think this looks better than Hunter x Hunter. And Hunter x Hunter is a solid show.
It does.
I mean, like, the fight scenes, for a stupid fight like this against some no-name red guy that shouldn't matter, it's animated really well.
It's animated all right. It's not bad.
I think it's better than good. I mean, it looked like they put a lot of thought into it. They put more effort into the animation of this show than anything else. So, but anyway, so yeah, they fight Red Guy, and then I guess they eventually convince him that he's being lied to. And then the guy, what does he do? Oh, he just warns them about what's coming up ahead.
Hey, like 17 dudes are going to gank you.
Yeah.
And then there's two more girls. So good. Yay.
Yeah, and then there's like these twins that show up at the top of the stairs. Now, maybe it's my imagination, but one of them looks like that girl that was in that village. But probably just a coincidence. Because there's like two of these two girls look like they're twins. And that other girl didn't have a twin sister. That was the sister of Alice. So it's probably just same face syndrome again.
Yeah. I can't remember anything else about this episode, so let's talk about JoJo.
Okay.
Break down, break down. Listen, break down, break down.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Diamond is Unbreakable, episode 34, July 15th, Thursday, part 4. In this episode, do you still shower with your dad?
This is such a weird Japanese thing that I just, every time I see it in anime, I'm just like...
Like, oh yeah, they kind of bathing and stuff, family, yeah, bath time. Okay.
Social just, bathing.
Let's accept it. Let's, I mean, you've seen a bathhouse. Everyone's seen a bathhouse, a public bathhouse. Let's just move along.
It is a very odd thing to think that, like...
It's not that weird.
It's not weird. It's just weird to us. It's weird to Americans. But, like, I think they're doing it in a way where it's like, hey, you're still my son, so...
Yeah, you're my son, right? I'm your dad. Right. A totally different person who is a serial killer.
Exactly. And so it's like, he's not going to tell his dad no or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's just odd. This, like, scenario of, like, the dad, like, trying to get information out of the kid or whatever.
Kira.
Kira. Whatever. Yeah, Kira trying to get the information out of this kid. Like, in any other situation would have been like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. But, like, the fact that it happens in the bathroom is just so weird. But, hey, it's what it is, I guess.
But most of this episode is Rohan dealing with Cheap Trick.
Oh, yeah.
Rohan's adventures in walking with her back to a wall, crossing the street by just... getting up against some dude's back and not leaving.
I really liked this part. This was probably my favorite part of the episode. The solution to this cheap trick, which is take them down the alleyway where you're not allowed to look back. And it turns out if a punch ghost looks back, he can be defeated by real ghosts.
Yeah, but, it works because he's a separate thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But this is a great way to bring back the alley with all the creepy hands.
Exactly. Like, that's what I thought. It's like, this is a really good setup and payoff, because, like, it would have been really obvious or really normal, I think, to just assume that whole sequence we had a couple episodes back where, you know, you go down the alley and you can't look behind you. That was like a one-time thing, like a one-episode thing. And here they brought it back and used it. So it's real clever. Also the bit, too, where he talked about, like, the Cheap Trick was just like, oh, you can't do this. There's so many people out here. And Rohan was like, yeah, but see, that guy got here. So he must have crossed the street. So it must be possible.
Yeah. That's a really good, like, oh, man, I completely forgot about those hands.
Yeah,
but now that you bring it up, it's like, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And then having what's-his-face stand in the right spot so that the guy would turn around and see the back. You know, like, or what's his name? The little short guy.
Koichi.
Koichi, yeah. Having Koichi look at Rohan's back at just the right moment so that the stand would turn around. And he would get captured. That was really smart.
And then we also get to see Kira just doing some serial killer things. He's Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Yeah.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. He's coming into your house.
Yeah, he sneaks up on this young couple, kills the guy right in front of the woman, and then starts doing his creepy...
Extremely stylishly. He's just like...
Yeah. Gets the girl, gets her hand, and then right before when he leaves, he notices that he was being watched and then decides to destroy the hand as well that he was collecting.
Yep, he's made a mistake. He's been filmed.
So now we're in a situation where...
It's the end game now.
Yeah, because the kid made an ultimatum with Kira, and he's like, if you do anything... I've hidden recordings of you doing stuff and you can't find them. So if you kill me, that stuff's going to get released or something like that.
It's a good thing I've always had these cameras in the bathroom.
Yeah, that is weird. Did you think he just did that recently? Or?
No, I don't think so. Remember, that kid was already like, he only realized something was wrong because he was already monitoring his parents.
That's weird.
He's a weird kid.
I do like, too, they also hint at this in this episode, too, because Rohan brought that book of photos and the ghost girl was there and she was looking at them. So I'm assuming she's going to point out something.
Well, you could already see it. She points out that the name on the kit on
his
backpack is the same as the name as this other dude he's pointing at.
Right. That's right.
It's like, why is this kid filming his dad at the train station?
So she basically figures out, like, she points out to them that this is who you need to go look for.
Hey, this is weird. You should check this out.
Yeah.
And they will. Next time.
Is this the last of the dated...
There are no more, like, non-Kira stand users to fight.
Well, that's not what I was asking, but... That's interesting. But I was going to say, is the whole like Tuesday, whatever, yes. That's over now, right?
Because next episode is Bites the Dust.
Bites the Dust. Okay.
Of course. It's a queen themed stand. You got to have another one. Yeah. Bites the Dust.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Also, Biting the Dust is us after we watch Black Clover.
Oh, God.
Black Clover, episode 68. Battle to the death? Yami versus Jack. In this episode, they don't. I don't remember anything else about this episode. It's
so
very boring.
Instead of actually fighting, they decide to have a cook-off.
Yeah, I remember that. That was good the one time Shokugeki no Soma did it. Too bad about what happened to that series. It's basically like bleaching itself off the face of the earth right now.
This episode was just whatever. It wasn't terrible. Like, it was just sort of goofy.
I literally can't remember a single thing that happened.
I'm trying to remember, too. But I mean, like, I'm trying to remember anything beyond the whole cook-off thing. Because then they had, like, Asta and Haha Guy out there trying to get people to come to their carts. And then something happened. Oh, okay. And I remember, okay, and then, like, the Wizard King was disguised as some old woman.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, hey, it's me, the Wizard King. Fuck you guys.
I don't remember why he was doing that. Something about wanting to check out their magic or something.
He likes to see strong dudes.
Yeah. And then eventually they do almost fight?
No, yeah, they almost fight, and then he's just like, hey, let's not do that.
Yeah, it's like they're supposed to be just rivals, but they're not actually going to kill each other. And that was it. It was basically something like that was the whole episode. I want to say there was something else. Oh, something to do with the singing girl and the dancing guy, but I can't remember.
They're doing their one song and their one dance.
Yeah.
Some Noel, I'm royalty, but I don't, but you stop being shit.
That was actually last episode.
It was this episode.
Was it? Okay.
Black Clover.
Yeah, this was just, it feels like filler. It could not, it may not be, but it did feel like just spinning wheels. Yeah, that's all
well,
I remember
talk about
from
Boruto
it.
Boruto instead, because I can actually remember stuff about it.
Okay.
Boruto, episode 29. The new seven ninja swordsmen are bad. They suck.
Did you see that they caught the Mizukage?
I think they're maybe nerfing the Mizukage a little bit here.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like, oh, dude, what? This dude sucks?
You know, to be fair, I wouldn't expect this guy to be all that great at combat anyway. He always struck me as a bit more of a cerebral like leader and not like a badass combat leader.
The previous five could all do some insane shit.
Yeah, but this is a new generation. Who's to say?
Also, this dude should not be this pathetic. I think what's happening here is they're like, well, we kind of need to have these guys be believably beaten by like the likes of Boruto and Sarada. But also we don't want to have the Mizukage just like walk in, swing his sword once and win.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think also, that they're,
but it's like, oh, we need to have all three of these things in the kind of in the same area, and it's like, they're, this dude is literally putting in a worse performance than these kids who aren't even ninjas yet.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of things. I think it's that they want to make these villains seem threatening, even though we know that they're not going to be around for very long. At least as far as I can tell. And then I think also I do think that this guy's just not that powerful a combat guy, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I don't think, did he ever do anything in Shippuden?
This dude?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I kind of doubt
it. I don't think he does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, he seems just more like a leader and not like a, he's not a Naruto. Like, he's the opposite of Naruto. He's all about brains and not brawn. But anyway, regardless, even if he was like weak, he probably would be still pretty strong. Stronger than these kids, of course. But maybe these weapons are just that amazing.
No, I'm going to say they're not. One of them is literally just, hey, we stuck paper bombs on it. Shit, I said there are 7 ninja swordsmen, but I only made up like 2 swords. Here's this fucking thing. This dumb fucking thing.
What, like, you don't like the little girl with like the creepy voice with the string sword? Because that's the one I remember the most.
No, please make her stop talking.
Yeah, every time she talks is like really annoying. But then more than that, like, they have like swords, but they're not all swords either. I mean, they're just sort of being loose with the word sword here, because one guy's just got like a big mallet, and then she's got like this weird string thing.
It's the sword that's it's the sword, just a fucking hammer.
Yeah,
just, that's a hammer, not, it's not a sword. Those are not the same thing.
And then I did like Boruto's whole like, hey, you know, if you, what did he do? He did something, he like, something about like, if you don't do this, my dad will find out or something like that.
It's like, you know, my dad could just like breathe and knock you all over.
No, I think it was something about like, he was like tricking the dude into letting him fight.
Oh, yeah, it's like, oh, you could cause an international incident. I'm just going for a walk.
Something like that. And it's like,
we are really desperately trying to get these characters somewhere, and we really don't know how, but...
It's like, hey, Mizukage, I know you don't want me to fight these guys, but, you know, if something like, if I didn't, you know, if something happens, I don't know. It was a really weird, it was like, at the time, I remember thinking, oh, okay, that's kind of clever. Boruto's using his heritage as a way of, you know, getting what he wants, because he's afraid, you know, because to scare the Mizukage into thinking, you know, if you don't do this, then it could become an international incident. But now I can't even remember what it was. It was just something like it just got it so that Boruto was allowed to fight, basically, instead of being like sent home.
So yeah,
like these a cover guys, up again, or something.
I don't know what these guys want other than, man, Blood Mist was cool.
Yeah, I get the impression they just
if they actually had to say seriously, it looks like they're like, you're just trying to paper over all of history. Like,
I think they just want to go to war. I think they want to defeat the.
I don't know what they want. That's bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just warmongers. That's the best I've got. I agree that they don't make it very clear. I think they don't like peace. You know, they're like those you see so often in movies, like the general who doesn't like peace.
I can't do it. What am I? I'm not killing someone. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it's like that. And they're just like fascinated. They want to have these swords. So I'm assuming that Boruto and this other kid are going to have their duel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still don't know why Kagura is doing anything. It literally just seems like this shark dude is just like, the scar compels you. And Kagura is just like, well.
Yeah, the way I read it is that Kagura feels guilty. And so he's being guilted into it. I'm sure he's going to, like, at the last minute, you know, be like, no, that's the wrong thing to do.
Actually, I'm a good guy now. And everything's forgiven.
You know why I know that?
Why?
Because in the opening, you see Kagura and Boruto having like a battle, but then he smiles.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, I guess he's going to be a good guy after all. Besides, they've kind of set it up as a good guy the whole time anyway. He's just misled right now. And I'm sure Boruto will talk no jutsu him into some, you know, being like, you don't have to be a bad guy. And he's going to go, oh, okay.
Scars are stupid.
Yeah. I'm more than my scar or something like that.
Well, it's not even his scar.
Well, he does have a scar on his face, though. Right?
Whatever. I can't, if you ask me to describe his face, well, I can't describe faces, so.
He has, like, something under his eye. And actually, I think B-Dub said, or somebody said, that he put that there. Like a tattoo or something.
Yeah. He gets home at night and peels it off. Ship it in. Naruto Shippuden, episode 248, The Fourth Hokage's Death Match. In this episode, everything's gone wrong. It's really bad. Good job, Anbu Black Ops.
Mm-hmm. Why does the Ninetales follow this dude?
Sharingan.
Okay, never mind. I do remember that now. He had it in his eye and everything.
Because yep. He's Madara, and he's super duper awesome.
Well, for as little as I care about Naruto's dad as a character, he was pretty badass in this episode.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
The way he uses his power is actually pretty cool, and this show could have used a lot more of that.
Yes. Well, I mean, it could have used it could have given Naruto literally anything other than just Rasengan.
Rasengan and, like, unlimited
Shadow clones.
Yeah, pretty much. A bottomless pit of chakra.
Talk about Jutsu, his greatest superpower.
It is. It really is. It was cool to see the Ninetales, this big event that we've always heard about. I mean, we're seeing that event happen.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Naruto is born. We see that. We see. Apparently, he was born with the Ninetales, like, marks on his face.
Yep, he was born with whiskers.
Guess that's. That's interesting.
Well, I guess, okay, I guess that makes sense.
It kind of makes sense, I guess. I mean, like, the Ninetales was inside her, so why not? I mean, Boruto and his sister have those marks too, so.
Yes, they do.
I guess that's a thing. Yeah. Did she die? I think she died,
She's
right?
not dead yet, but she is going to die.
Yeah, I kind of feel like she's going to die.
Sad.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He had her like strung up. Oh, that was when he extracted the Ninetales. And Madara's doing this because he just hates the Leaf Village?
Man, let's not even get into it yet.
All right.
But yeah, Minato has a really cool power of just like teleportation spam.
Yeah.
It's like, I put a symbol on your back and now I can just teleport. But literally the Bleach thing of, I'm teleporting behind you.
Yeah. He uses his power really in, like, an intelligent way. Like, I don't know, it's just a really cool, you don't see it very often in this show. It's, like, a really neat move. And that's funny. It's funny how, like, they refer to him as, like, what did they call him? Something like the light speed ninja or something like that, or the yellow flash or something like that.
He's the yellow flash of the Leaf.
Yeah, the yellow flash of the Leaf, and it's kind of like you would think, oh, okay, he can just move really quickly, like he can run really fast. But no, he literally instant transmissions around. Pretty cool. I mean, and the animation was really good in this episode. The last couple episodes have had really good animation.
What is it with, like, flashbacks and filler episodes having way better animation?
It feels like, you know what I think, honestly? I think that they're doing this for two reasons. One is I think the really talented animators want to do this really, these iconic moments. And so that's why they look so good. And then also, I think the producers of the show want these iconic moments animated well because they're probably going to show up again. You know, there's a chance that they could come back and be reused.
Yes, but then they should have animated Naruto sitting on a swing, very sad, way better.
Ah, that was really early days, though. Like, that's kind of like complaining about early One Piece animation.
Hey, early One Piece animation is pretty okay.
It was, yeah. That's not like, I'm not trying to slam it, but I'm just saying, like, It's just like in the early days of an anime, you never know, you know, whatever. But I don't know. That's just a theory too. Who knows? Maybe it's just, it is surprising to see this canon stuff animated so well, because that seems to have been the opposite a lot lately, is where the filler stuff got awesome animation and the canon stuff looked pretty, you know, bad.
Yeah.
But this looks really good.
Let's talk about Hunter x Hunter.
Cool.
Hunter x Hunter episode 141, Magician and Butler. In this episode, dude, some crazy shit. But first, some crazy people are up for the Hunter Association presidency, including, like, some gourmet that hasn't spoken in, like, 2 years.
Yeah, what was that?
Some cute hunter who's the president of the Bean fan club.
Yeah.
Also, why not just Bean for the president of the Hunter Association?
There was only one person listed that I wanted.
Who?
It just happened to be this girl in like a pink dress.
Oh yeah, Bisky.
She's like the best character in this series. I really wish she came back. I know she doesn't, but anyway.
Well, she's actually in the next arc, I believe.
In like a major way or just in the background?
In it.
Okay, interesting. Oh, you mean the next arc that we won't have on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, darn. That's good, though. I guess I can read that eventually. Yeah, I did like that whole, like, sequence. I think in most shows that would be really redundant and, like, just time-wasting. But I did like to see, like, here's number one on the list, number two on the list, number three on the list, and you get to see them all.
Here's all these just ridiculous doofuses that are up for this nomination.
Yeah.
One dude's last name was Ambitious. That's great. Anyway, back to fun, happy, fun, family fun time. Illumi is trying to kill everyone, except Killua. Do not kill Killua. If you do, Illumi will probably take about 7 years killing you. Got that, Hisoka?
Yeah, that was a weird, funny face he made.
It's like, oh, you know you love me. And Illumi's like, yeah. But yeah, these dudes are coming, and that's terrifying because, oh, geez, they are going to fucking kill some people.
Hmm.
Also, Tsubone is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, kind of here's Killua with a thing called Godspeed, and Tsubone is over here just like, I'm out for a morning jog.
Yeah, I never doubted for a second she'd be, like, super powerful. Like, honestly, I don't remember a whole lot about this episode.
The insane car stuff where Illumi just suddenly got, like, 72 people in cars controlled, and the limo's got, like, entire iron bars through it. But it's like, it's okay. We knew nobody would die.
I guess What's-Her-Face has her driver's license, even though she doesn't look old enough.
It's anime. She's probably, like, 18.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I guess, okay. Hisoka versus Coin Dude. Man, these butlers seem super cool. I sure hope Hisoka doesn't Hisoka anyone. They're going to get Hisoka'd.
You know, it's funny. I had forgotten that was his thing, his coin thing.
Remember all the way back then?
Yeah, I know. It was like forever ago.
It's like, check out, follow this coin.
Is that like his Nen power?
I guess so.
Yeah, that's weird.
So yeah, that was this episode. Thanks, C. Kohler.
No problem.
We promise we'll do better next week.
Yeah, we'll try to get more people on.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next week for episode 150.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Yay! Good night, everyone! Later.